I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Hey, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, it is time for the Drive to Close on this Friday. Delighted to have back with us Doug Ciocca, our pal, CEO, and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, joining us on the phone from Leawood, Kansas. He's a guy, Paul Sweeney, who has a deep appreciation for the fitness world. So I'm not sure if he was listening to us wax rhapsodic about our Pelotons, but he is a fit individual, as Carol Master might say. Doug, how are you?
I'm well. Geez, I didn't know I was as good as you described me, so thank you. I'm even better now.
Good. So how are things? I mean, we always like to start by asking you, how are things looking out there? How is life there in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having me on. I mean, and I'll give you the obligatory caveat, right? I mean, all things considered, yeah, Everything's great. You know, this has been an incredibly eventful year, and we still have 4 months to go. You know, the Midwest is absolutely on a hot seat as a hot spot. Mm-hmm. So we're now dealing a little more readily with a lot of the types of disruptions and interruptions that you New Yorkers long ago grew accustomed to. So, but yeah, we're getting through it really well, I will say, for sure.
Is it? Do you feel like, just staying on that for a second, like has it started to feel a little bit better or worse over the past month or so? Like, how's it trending?
I think it's trending more positively, Jason. I mean, yeah. I think we were lulled into a sense of complacency, and I'm not at all indicating that that was a behavioral modification, that people took things for granted and didn't respect social distancing. We certainly have had, you know, masking ordinances in place, and unfortunately a lot of the hospitality industries are still at 25 and 50% allowable capacity. But we didn't have a surge that we had prepared for in the early part of the spring. And we deal with a lot of docs that are clients and hospital admins that are clients. And the preparation that was learned across the country and exported from the East Coast and to you guys from the probably Central Europe and Central Europe from Asia, we were really ready. And I think the lockdown served its purpose. I think getting the information from the parts of the states, parts of the country, and parts of the world that had undergone what we'd hoped to avoid was very emboldening. And unfortunately, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, we did see a bit of a flare-up. One of the things that seems to be conclusive and in widespread agreement in the medical community is the virulence, I don't know if I'm saying that word right, of this virus has dramatically diminished as it's mutated across the world. That seems to be something that people are in agreement with, and I think that what we've heard from the front line is that is the case. So I think that's a thread of incrementally positive news as we're dealing with what we're dealing with now in the Midwest.
Interesting. So, Doug, I'd love to get your thoughts here. Just, we were talking about it with Dave Wilson, our Bloomberg Stock Center. He did some analysis for his chart of the day, kind of, you know, breaking down the S&P 500, basically conclusion that, hey, the bigger, you know, quartiles of the S&P 500 in terms of market cap doing much, much better than the lower quartiles of the S&P 500 in terms of market cap. So to me, that's a lack of breadth in the market. And I remember in business school, in the equities markets class, that's not a good thing. How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, you know, it isn't a good thing. I think it's concerning, Paul, in so much as in order to sustain this trajectory, and maybe not the magnitude but the direction, there needs to be some breadth incorporating sectors that to this point have not participated, right? And there's not a playbook for investing in a pandemic, but there's some well-written rules about sectors that tend to outperform in the presence of a recession. And true to form, right, the interest rate-sensitive defensive sectors, primarily tech and healthcare, of course the five biggest companies and 23% of the index is tech in the S&P 500, did what we dependably would have expected them to do. They probably did a little bit better. But coming out of a recession, right, this is something that we would expect that rotation will favor economically sensitive and cyclical sectors. If that happens, right, we should see laggards like financials, laggards like energy, but selectively, right? Because it's arguable the entire energy complex is evolving and hopefully in a very positive fashion. But certain areas that have done nothing, that are still growing their profits or not declining profits as quickly as we had anticipated or feared, that is what we need to see for that breadth to widen for us to feel like there's going to be some sustainability to this recovery throughout the end of the year.
Doug, you know, I feel like we've been having this debate a lot in our newsroom, and you may have heard us having it on air about the big, big tech names and sort of their disproportionate influence and all of that. Like, how do we ultimately reckon with that as this market moves forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the things that it incorporates, Jason, the growth versus value debate, right? And as we know, that has been very disproportionate over the last 5 to 7 years. And I think people are trying to draw corollaries. When the last time growth was this disproportionately outperforming, it was cataclysmic because it was the dot-com bubble. Or it was the first 9 months of 2018 before that comeuppance, and we saw that 19 or 20% drop in 6 weeks. I think what's different now, and it's always a very dangerous way to start a statement about the market, is the companies that represent these technology companies that they represent are so interwoven across so many aspects of consumer, business, finance, education, transportation, communication, that we're trying to understand what the limits of their effectiveness can be. And until there is some concerted effort to minimize their growth trajectory, because technology is such an interwoven part of all of our daily existences, I'm really not sure what the stopping point is for their pronounced influence, and a lot of it very positive on our lives and then certainly reflected in their influence on the market.
So, Doug, if I'm looking for performance, do I dare dip my toe in emerging markets?
I think you have to. You have to dip your toe in emerging markets. I think you have to dip your toe into small cap value. I think there's not necessarily going to be the snapback mean reverting tendency, but I do think, again, consistent with that breadth widening evolution of this recovery, you want to look to emerging markets, and they've changed a lot too, Paul, right? They're no longer just commodity and cyclically focused. The middle class in these westernizing parts of the world are tilting more toward tech and consumer because the capability of, again, these gigantic large technology companies have made those things possible for those parts of the world, which represent a lot of great opportunity, and particularly if you couch that in the context of a weakening dollar.
All right. Doug Scioka, thank you so much. Really nice to hear your voice. Glad to hear all is well out there where you are. Doug Scioka is, of course, CEO partner at Kavar Capital Partners, looking after about $800 million there for clients. Join us on the phone from Leawood, Kansas.
I think that actually might be the absolute center of the United States, the lower 48.